Welcome to episode 443 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10-10 Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. During his three-year ministry, Jesus shattered some prevailing notions of what it meant to be a part of a family. Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus is not saying that biological family isn't important. He's not dismissing his mother and brothers. What he is doing is making the clear theological point that in the kingdom of heaven, the most important family connection is spiritual, not physical. This is a truth made explicitly clear in John 1 verses 12 to 13. "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." The parallels are clear. When we are born physically, we're born into a physical family, but when we are born again, we're born into a spiritual family. To use language from Romans 8 verse 15, we are adopted into God's family. And as adoptees, God becomes our father and Jesus our brother. This spiritual family is not bound by ethnicity, gender, or social standing. Paul says in Galatians 3 verses 26 to 29, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." While Jesus is referred to as the only begotten Son of God, believers are referred to not only as sons and heirs adopted into his family, but also as children born into God's family who need to grow and mature in our faith. God's infinite grace and mercy are revealed in Ephesians 1 verses 5 to 6, which says he redeems sinners whom he has adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. Earlier this week, we talked about Jesus as the chief cornerstone. The book of Isaiah has many references to the Messiah to come. In several places, the Messiah is referred to as the cornerstone, such as in this prophecy in Isaiah 28 verses 16 to 17. "Though this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line." In context, God speaks to the scoffers and boasters of Judah, and he promises to send the cornerstone, his precious son, who will provide the firm foundation for their lives if they would trust in him. In the New Testament, the cornerstone metaphor is continued. The Apostle Paul desires for the Ephesian Christians to know Christ better. He writes this in Ephesians 2 verses 19 to 21. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord." Note that Paul uses the cornerstone imagery to expand the notion of who can be a part of the family of God. In 1 Peter 2 verse 6, what Isaiah said centuries before is affirmed in exactly the same words. Peter also says that Jesus, as our cornerstone, is chosen by God and precious to him. The cornerstone is reliable, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. But those who should have known better rejected Jesus as the cornerstone. How can people reject God's chosen precious cornerstone? Simply put, they want to build something different from what God is building. Just as the people building the Tower of Babel in Old Testament times, rebelled against God and pursued their own project, those who reject Christ disregard God's plan in favor of their own. Judgment is promised to all those who reject Christ. We find this warning in Matthew 21, verse 44. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. Those who accept Jesus as the chief cornerstone of their lives earn the right to be called children of God, become members of a new family. As children of God, what do we inherit? Nothing less than the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1 verse 3 tells us that believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. These spiritual blessings are infinite, eternal, and reside in Christ. And by God's grace, we're given these blessings as his children. As earthly children, we eventually inherit what our parents leave behind for us after their death. But in God's case, believers are already reaping the rewards of our inheritance by having peace with him through the sacrifice of his son on the cross. Other rewards of our inheritance include the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the moment we believe in Christ, which empowers us to live for him in the present, and the knowledge that our salvation is secure for eternity. When visited by the religious leader Nicodemus, Jesus did not immediately assure him of heaven. Instead, Christ told him he had to become a child of God, saying, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." The first time a person is born, he inherits the sin nature that stems from Adam's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. No one has to teach a child how to sin. He naturally follows his own wrong desires, leading to such sins as lying, stealing, and hating. Rather than being a child of God, he is a child of disobedience and wrath. As children of wrath, we deserve to be separated from God in hell. Thankfully, Ephesians 2 verses 4 to 5 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." How are we made alive with Christ, born again, made a child of God? We must receive Jesus by faith. Lest we think that Jesus turned his back on his biological family, this was not the case. As he hung on the cross, Jesus saw one of his disciples, John, standing with his mother, who was bewildered and grieving. In his darkest moment, Jesus made sure that Mary would be cared for. John 19, verses 26, verse 27. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So what does the Bible say about family? The physical family is the most important building block to human society. And as such, it should be nurtured and protected. But more important than that is the new creation that God is making in Christ, which is comprised of a spiritual family, the church, made up of all people who call upon the Lord as their Savior. This is a family drawn from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And the defining characteristic of this spiritual family is love for one another. John 13, verses 34 to 35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Father, may we all respond in faith to the gracious invitation to become sons and daughters of the living God. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.